No matter who you are and no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right this second, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is June the 24th. Welcome, everyone. June 24th. It's so good to be here with you as we walk our way through the Bible every day in chronological order until we get through the entire Bible. And holy cow, is there anything holy about a cow? We are almost to the halfway point, of the year, to the halfway point of going through the Bible, but we're not there yet. So we'll keep trekking and making our way. Yesterday we read about Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the splitting of the kingdom of Israel. Today we will hear a very similar narrative through the eyes of 2 Chronicles, reading chapters 10, 11, and 12. And this week we're reading the Christian Standard Bible. Let's jump in. 2 Chronicles, chapter 10. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard about it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon's presence, Jeroboam returned from Egypt. So they summoned him. Then Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam. Your father made our yoke harsh. Therefore, lighten your father's harsh service and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam replied, return to me in 3 days. So the people left. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had attended his father Solomon when he was alive, asking, how do you advise me to respond to this people? They replied, if you will be kind to this people and please them by speaking kind words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice of the elders who had advised him, and he consulted with the young men who had grown up with him, the ones attending him. He asked them, what message do you advise we send back to this people who said to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him told him, this is what you should say to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. This is what you should say to them. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Now, therefore, my father burdened you with a heavy yoke, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I with barbed whips. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, just as the king had ordered, saying, return to me on the third day. Then the king answered them harshly. King Rehoboam rejected the elders' advice and spoke to them according to the young men's advice, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I with barbed whips. The king did not listen to the people because the turn of events came from God in order that the Lord might carry out his word that he had spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Israel, each to your tent. David, look after your own house now. So all Israel went to their tents. But as for the Israelites living in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was in charge of the forced labor, but the Israelites stoned him to death. However, King Rehoboam managed to get into his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. Israel is in rebellion against the house of David until today. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mobilized the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 fit young soldiers, to fight against Israel to restore the reign to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. You are not to march up and fight against your brothers. Each of you return home, for this incident has come from me. So they listened to what the Lord said and turned back from going against Jeroboam. Rehoboam stayed in Jerusalem, and he fortified cities in Judah. He built up Bethlehem, Edom, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Meresha, Zip, Adoriam, Lachish, Azekah, Zora, Aijalon, and Hebron, which are fortified cities in Judah and in Benjamin. He strengthened their fortifications and put leaders in them with supplies of food, oil, and wine. He also put large shields and spears in each and every city to make them very strong. So Judah and Benjamin were his. The priests and Levites from all their regions throughout Israel took their stand with Rehoboam. For the Levites left their pasture lands and their possessions and went to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons refused to let them serve as priests of the Lord. Jeroboam appointed his own priests for the high places, the goat demons and the golden calves he had made, those from every tribe of Israel who had determined in their hearts to seek the Lord their God, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, for 3 years, because they walked in the ways of David and Solomon for 3 years. Rehoboam married Mahalath, daughter of David's son Jeremoth, and of Abihail, daughter of Jesse's son Eliab. She bore sons to him, Jush, Shemariah, and Zaham. After her, he married Maacah, daughter of Absalom. She bore Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelemith to him. Rehoboam loved Maacah, daughter of Absalom, more than all his wives and concubines. He acquired 18 wives and 60 concubines and was the father of 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam appointed Abijah, son of Maacah, as chief, leader among his brothers, intending to make him king. Rehoboam also showed discernment by dispersing some of his sons to all the regions of Judah and Benjamin and to all the fortified cities. He gave them plenty of provisions and sought many wives for them. When Rehoboam had established his sovereignty and royal power, he abandoned the law of the Lord, he and all Israel with him, because they were unfaithful to the Lord. In the 5th year of King Rehoboam, King Shishak of Egypt went to war against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 cavalrymen, and countless people who came with him from Egypt, Libyans, Sukkim, and Cushites. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then the prophet Shemaiah went to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who were gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak. He said to them, "This is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me. Therefore, I have abandoned you to Shishak." So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." When the Lord saw that they had humbled themselves, the Lord's message came to Shemaiah. "They have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them, but will grant them a little deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. However, they will become his servants, so that they may recognize the difference between serving me and serving the kingdoms of other lands." So King Shishak of Egypt went to war against Jerusalem. He seized the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the treasuries of the royal palace. He took everything. He took the gold shields that Solomon had made. King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and committed them into the care of the captains of the guards who protected the entrance to the king's palace. Whenever the king entered the Lord's temple, the guards would carry the shields and take them back to the armory. When Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned away from him, and he did not destroy him completely. Besides that, conditions were good in Judah. King Rehoboam established his royal power in Jerusalem. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name. Rehoboam's mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite. Rehoboam did what was evil because he did not determine in his heart to seek the Lord. The events of Rehoboam's reign from beginning to end are written in the events of the prophet Shemaiah and the seer Iddo concerning genealogies. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam throughout their reigns. Rehoboam rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. His son Abijah became king in his place. Okay, so yesterday we hit the first Kings variation, and today we hear a similar perspective from the reading in 2 Chronicles. So, what we need to understand that just took place in the reading is that the nation of Israel is now split into two different kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And sadly, this comes at the leadership of King Rehoboam and King Jeroboam, these two kings introducing idolatry all throughout the nation of Israel. So going back and just hitting some of those really essential points to what we read, after Solomon's death, Rehoboam, his son, takes the throne. And with what happens next, we can see why God tells the people to never forget where he brought them from. Out of slavery, as they once were slaves in Egypt. So representatives from the northern tribe come to King Rehoboam and asks him to lighten the load of both the labor and heavy taxation. Now we remember the wisdom of Solomon. Apparently his son Rehoboam did not ask for such a thing. Rehoboam goes to the elders, the men that would have perhaps remembered the wisdom of Rehoboam's father Solomon, and they offer sage, sound advice. Treat them with kindness, and they'll treat you with kindness. Now that can be so simple, it sounds ridiculous, but it's the truth. You want kindness extended back, show kindness, extend kindness. It does not need to be a rarity in this world. Rehoboam then goes to his young friends, and we see that these are the same men that he is raised with. I hear a good bit of entitlement. I hear a good bit of abuse of power. And the young friends advise him to make them work even harder. King Rehoboam follows the advice of the non-sage young men. This in return causes a rebellion. The 10 northern tribes rebel, and they split away from Israel, appointing Jeroboam as their king. Only the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, remain loyal to the dynasty of King David, and they form the southern kingdom of Judah. And then we see this move that happens out of fear. Jeroboam fears that the people will travel back to Jerusalem and devote their allegiance to Rehoboam. Jeroboam builds two golden calves and builds these places of worship not authorized by God in Bethel and Dan. God sends a prophet to the altar at Bethel and confronts Jeroboam's idolatry. This is when the prophet predicts a future king Josiah will ultimately destroy what Jeroboam has built. Jeroboam tries to attack the prophet. His hand shrivels up. The altar splits in half. The prophet prays. Jeroboam's hand is restored. And yet refuses to repent. And then we have this really interesting thing that happens. This really fascinating story. We have a prophet from Judah who is told very specifically by God not to eat or drink in Bethel on his return trip, on his way back home. But he's tricked by an older local prophet into disobeying God. And what's so fascinating about this is it's two men saying, God told me. And it's two men saying, God told me completely opposite things, as if God is a bit schizophrenic, as if perhaps God made a mistake. Ah, doggone it. I got that wrong yesterday. Who's right and who's wrong? We learn really early on, as the laws for the Israelites are laid out, that if a prophet speaks and it does not come true, then that prophet spoke in their own accord. They spoke on their own and just used God and being God's representative to vie for position and credibility. So in this fascinating story, who's right and who's wrong? Well, God told one prophet one thing, God told the other prophet the other thing, but where we can pinpoint this demise of prophetic shenanigans, for lack of a better word, is God clearly spoke to the prophet on his way back from Judah. Do not eat or drink in Bethel on your return trip. If God would have changed his mind and told him otherwise, then he would have told the prophet. Instead, this older prophet does a little bit of prophetic trickery. I don't know if the intention was to trick or not to trick, but what ends up happening is the young prophet gets tricked and doesn't consult God. He just takes this older prophet's word as God spoke. But God had already spoke to him clearly and instructed him clearly. We listen to a lot of opinions that use God's name and will shame us when we don't follow the instruction and the voice that they stated as God. But if God has not spoke that directly to you first, and you live in the fear of Almighty God, then don't you dare take the word of someone who is self-titled or locally titled, as the older prophet was, and claim it as truth from God himself. As we know, that young prophet, he got ate by a lion on his way home. The kitty was hungry, apparently. And then we have Jeroboam's son who falls very ill. And Jeroboam, with a little bit of trickery his own self, sends his wife in disguise to consult with the blind prophet Ahijah. But Ahijah has eyes to see despite his blindness. And he sees through the disguise, and Ahijah speaks God's curse over Jeroboam's entire dynasty, and that eventually Israel will be nothing as it was once, just before the leadership of Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And at the same time, down yonder, down south, King Rehoboam and the people of Judah also turn to idolatry, building detestable idols. This causes God to allow Pharaoh from Egypt, Pharaoh Shishak, to invade Jerusalem, plunders the treasures of the temple and the palace, both that Solomon built just a week or so ago. So, in essence, what we have is Israel in complete shambles, and what it was once in its finest hour will never be again. And so, as we are in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, we are now learning the kings that ruled the nation of Israel. And they're going to come and go fast. And what we need to pay attention to is, in the introduction of the new kings, we will learn instantly if they did good in the sight of God or if they did evil in the sight of God. And when they do evil, you can assume that they lead the nation into evil because of their influence. And we will see these lone voices in the story of those that live in the fear and the obedience and in the reverence of God. And so we pause here today as we finish the summary of our reading from 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for forgiveness when we repent. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that we don't deserve. We take it for granted. We cheapen grace as if it's not absolutely amazing. We need it every day of our lives, and let us remember that and keep that at the forefront of our remembrance. As we walk in humility, let us extend that which we need to those in need around us. We love you and we worship you. We give you thanks and praise, and I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and your Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Let's talk about the long walk, July 7th. We hope that you will get out with us in community. Join us as people all over the globe will be walking at all different times of the day. Maybe everybody will be walking every second of that day. That would be so cool to think about, that someone was walking somewhere all throughout the day. And in that walk, being alone, intentional with God. We will later tell you where to post your pictures, your short videos, and give you instruction, just a place so that people are not scrolling through things, and that we can all participate together in viewing after we participate individually. So, lace up your shoes, get your water, get on out and walk. July 7th, coming soon. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can give using the app. Hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you would like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. Or once again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button next to the give icon up at the top right-hand section. You have 2 minutes on the prayer wall. Prayer line. When you are finished using the app, hit the little red microphone, and then right below that, hit chronological to ensure that your call gets to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and be back in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles together. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hi, DABC family. This is Daughter of Honor Star Kindler in Asia. I was calling in today to pray for some of our community and also just to give a small update on our situation, ask for continued prayers. First of all, I pray for Christ in me. I heard your call that came through on June 12th. And I pray that, God, we pray that you would be in the relationship, that you would help draw the relationship between Christ and me and her sister together, that you would heal the parts that need to be healed, and that you would help both sides see what the other person is going through, and be able to forgive, to understand, to love each other well. And Father, we also pray for Darren from College Station. The prayer request that he called in for Lynn, that the test went well, that she was able to get through this law portion of her pharmacy license, and that she would be able to use her gifts and talents to serve the kingdom in an area that it's very needed within the pharmacy. So Father, please just help her. I see I'm almost out of time, family, but do be praying for me. I do feel the weight of the amount of work that I have right now, so pray for wisdom and how I spend my time, but mostly pray for my husband. He really does feel out of place here in his program in the seminary, and he's very discouraged with the work that he's trying to do, so please just pray for him, and thank you.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on the part of the world you're hearing this prayer from. My name is Lovelyn and I'm calling in from France. I'm so excited this morning. A sister called in, said your name is Maya and your daughter Ella. You called for prayer 2021 concerning your prayer. I can remember you. You were considering whether to terminate the pregnancy or to continue. The father is not taking responsibility. I can remember if you are that person, and we prayed for you. And I'm so happy for the testimony that you indeed keep that child, and she's doing so well. I thank God for you. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you listen to the prayers, you listen to the advice, and God is doing well in the life of the child. And the child has a bond. We are praying for a bond, third-degree bond, Ella. We are praying for baby Ella. The Lord has started this good work in her life and your life. We perfect it because He's a God of perfection. He's a God of completion. He's a God that cannot abandon a project. The project He started in the life of Ella, He's going to complete it. I'm praying for you, and we are praying for you. And the Lord God of healing will rest His healing hands upon the baby Ella in the name of Jesus. Another brother calling, you say you're suffering from loss, you're so, even from your tone, you're so ashamed of it. Brother, we're praying for you. The Lord has sees for you to acknowledge what you are going through and say it publicly. You have broke that addiction, because the power of addiction is secrecy when you keep it secret. But now you have come openly to say it to the world. The Lord's hands is upon you, and He will rescue you from this loss in the name of Jesus. And another sister called in. You said it's a concerning sickness, so many cancer. So,
hi, this is Cynthia from upstate New York, and I have a couple of prayer requests. One is for my brother George. He has been for more than 14 years been fighting prostate cancer. He's had many different treatments, and he's come through them well. He is now taking an infusion that is really wreaking some havoc on his body. He's had to be hospitalized at least once, and now again dealing with some side effects of the medication. And I'm just asking for prayer for him. He is such a lovely and amazing man, and I'm just so sad that he has had to battle this for the last 14 years, but I am also so grateful that he is still here, and God has him here for a reason, and I know that, and he knows that. So if my campfire family would all come around me and please pray for him, I would just love that. I would covet that as well. Also, prayer for my sister Anne. She is going to be talking with an oncologist next week. She had a PET scan about a week ago, and now she's going to be discussing those results. She is a lung cancer survivor, and she has been having lots of issues now with her body in different areas, so they did a PET scan, and we don't know what the result is going to be, but I do know that my God is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly anything we should ask. So I am asking for prayer for both of them, for my brother George and for my sister Anne. And I am praying for anyone here who is in need. I'm sorry I didn't gather up all the names, but Heavenly Father, just be with any of the people here that need you. Of course, we all need you. We are a needy people. And I love
Good morning, DABC family. I want to pray for Vanelli. They have a baby. I guess her son and daughter-in-law had a baby. And they may have some complications, Vanelli. I can just feel the weight that you're bearing. I can hear it in your voice. I want to pray for you because I think you need to find a way to receive God's peace and trust in him. Lots of people are given negative things from the doctor, and things turn around completely. I've experienced that myself. So trust in God. He is greater than these symptoms. Lord, I thank you, God, for Vernelli. Lord, I thank you, God, that she will trust in you for her baby grandchild. And Lord, that you will lead them to the right practitioners. Lord, that this child has good intelligence and is able to live her life to the fullest. Father, I just thank you, God. Reach Vernelli. Help her to have peace and joy in the arrival of this new baby. In the name of Jesus, amen.